This podcast replay is brought to you by EssentialMovingExperts.com. 5-star rated. 25 years of experience in the moving business. Family owned and operated. They offer free 30-day storage. Fully licensed, bonded, and insured. Mention the Big O and get $150 off. Moving was never so easy. EssentialMovingExperts.com.
Yes, we are ready to rock around the state. Good evening, gentlemen. Are you all doing well out there?
Doing awesome.
I love it. I love it. First of all, I'd be remiss if I did not mention all of our Floridians throughout the state that are going through a rough time on the West Coast and Central Florida and up into the East Coast of Florida and obviously other parts, even into the Carolinas. Our thoughts and prayers are with you, and anything that you can do to help out your fellow Floridian get through a very brutal time. And unfortunately, these storms affect everyone in the state because we've all been through these experiences. So I just know that on behalf of everybody here on the panel today, we're thinking of you as always. And hopefully this will get your mind off of it for State of Florida Gridiron Roundtable. You know, I figured this week, I like to go with the team that makes the biggest headlines and the biggest accomplishment and all that. And Miami was off. Florida State ended up losing. But, you know, we talked about this. You know, Kevin, this is a game that was played like at Sandals or something like that. So, you know, I was thinking if you never punt in a game, does it really happen? You know what I'm saying?
So exactly. Like if a tree falls in the woods, is it and nobody hears it, is it really, you know, does the tree really fall? It's kind of that same concept, right? Was kind of a glorified scrimmage for the Gators for sure.
Was it the Globetrotters against the Generals? You know what I'm saying? You know, that's kind of what I felt like there. So we're going to start off with Manny because what the hell? He's covering a hot seat right now. And well, not that Mario is on a hot seat. I mean, it's just a whole bunch of a hot mess. How about that instead of that? That's what it is, a hot mess. So let's start off this week, obviously, off Manny. Let's talk about it because lots of controversy. And, you know, we love the quarterback argument all over the country. That's our favorite argument at every level of football. And so, well, would they go with Jake? Would they leave Tyler behind after a rough start here? And the word is Mario is going to stand by his man. All right. And so talk to us a little bit about what's going on behind the scenes. What kind of rumblings are going on? What kind of fingers are being pointed? Who is looking in the mirror and taking blame, too, for some of the struggles on this offensive side of the ball?
Well, I mean, look, you can point the finger at a lot of different people, certainly. Miami fans love to do that, right? They're going to point at everybody they can. Usually it's the coordinator, and in this case, so many of them are pointing at Josh Gattis saying, look, he's the Broyles Award winner. You got to adapt your offense to your quarterback. But I will say this, and you and I talked about this earlier today, Big O, Mario Cristobal has to sign off on everything that Josh Gattis is calling. So clearly, he's got the coach's blessing to run this offense and to run it the way that he's doing it. I think the problem right now, whether Miami fans want to accept this or not, is that Tyler Van Dyke has not looked like himself throwing the football. Forget about reading defenses, just getting the ball to receivers. It's been a problem. First, it was those guys dropping it. Now, against Middle Tennessee State 2 weeks ago, it was really just him missing guys that were open. And so, look, he's battling a lot. They've got to make this offense a little bit easier for him and everybody else to just move the football down the field, get in the end zone, score points. You would think North Carolina would be the perfect remedy, right? They're the worst defense in the ACC in terms of giving up points and yards. But Miami's banged up. They're banged up. They've got guys hurt left and right. You may only have one healthy scholarship running back in this game. So there's going to be a lot of pressure on Tyler to deliver this week. And I think, this is a do or die week for Miami football. I think if they lose this game, this season could spiral out of control and become one of those, you know, 5-7, 4-8 type years.
Wow, that's tough. Manny, I'm curious, is there anything wrong with Van Dyke physically, or is this just an issue of, getting accustomed to a new coordinator after Lashie last year? What could be kind of the, you know, impetus of some of his struggles? But when you're talking about accuracy, that comes to mind to me that maybe there's a physical issue.
Well, I put Mario Cristobal on the spot, and I asked him, is there something mechanically wrong with the way Tyler's throwing the football? Because a lot of, you know, film pundits out there who study this stuff want to point out, you know, hey, look, his elbow looks like it's being dropped in a different way, or it's being held up at a different position than he did last year. His throwing motion's a little different. I know this. I know that they have tried to tweak a little bit with his throwing motion, because he was kind of throwing the ball a little sidearm last year. But look, the bottom line is you have an entire offseason to do all this kind of stuff. He went through spring football. He didn't have any problems throwing the ball. He wasn't the guy everybody was complaining about. It was the receivers dropping passes in spring ball and in fall camp. So to me, that's not a worthwhile excuse. And Mario kind of dismissed it as well. I think this is about him making the right reads and then getting the football to where it's supposed to go. And he's got to get the job done this week, because Miami can't afford to fall to 2-3. And to really, I think, just have the wind taken out of their sails, because we've seen this team do it before. One loss turns into two losses, quickly turns into three losses and four and so forth. So I think this is a pivotal week for Miami.
Yeah, it could be scary this week, especially against that offense of North Carolina. And we'll get into that when we get into the matchups here. All right, Kevin. So I asked you after this 52-7 win over Eastern Washington, if you never punted in a game, did it really happen? Well, if your quarterback averages 45 yards a rush, did the game ever really happen, by the way? I'm just wondering, you know what I'm saying? No, in all seriousness, in a game like this, I thought what was really cool was Jalen Kitna coming out to play. And, you know, we talk about the bloodlines and we talk about all that stuff. But to me, the thing that stood out is – when Billy Napier mentioned the word that, I got to tell you, excites me with quarterbacks, okay? Almost to the point of sexually, I got to say. And I'm serious. We're good disturbing here, but that's what we do here on the gridiron, okay? We get raw. Yeah. And so, you know, one of the things, because, you know, we have this size queen issue with us in quarterback. Well, he's got to be big, and he's got to be able to throw it out of the stadium and all that. But if he has no idea where it's going, it doesn't help me. And the word he mentioned was accuracy. And to me, that's everything in a quarterback. Accuracy, ball placement, anticipatory skills. If you have a big, strong arm and you can do those things, I love you. Okay, that's great. But if you got a solid enough arm and you can do the accuracy stuff, to me, that's the most important part. And so, you know, you talk about Richardson, but I thought that was pretty cool. And the perfect opponent to put him out there. You know what I mean? I saw Brian Flores go, you know, we're going to start Tua, but we'll do it against the Rams, because that'll work out. You know what I'm saying? You know, and these are things like, coach, what are you doing? And so in this kind of game, I know Richardson got tweaked and left and came back and all that, but it's pretty cool to get that playing time at that moment.
Yeah, no question. And, you know, I think the thing too was, I mean, when Richardson got tweaked, he came in and his first pass, you talk about poise, a bullet down the sideline to Ricky Pearsall for 22 yards. So he didn't show any jitters during a point in the game where, you know, the game was still somewhat, you know, it was, I think, a 14-3 game at that point and so forth. And he came in the second quarter and performed well in that live period, and then came back in the third quarter through a 62-yard touchdown pass. And accuracy, poise, I think, stood out. But, you know, son of an NFL quarterback, I think that's pretty good, Big O. When you look at that, the bloodlines are really good. And you talk about accuracy. Kyle Trask was a plenty accurate quarterback at Florida. Didn't have the biggest arm, you know, certainly led him to the SEC championship game. So those are all encouraging signs. And it's just encouraging to know that you have a guy, in case something happens to Anthony Richardson, that you have a guy that can step in and has a little bit of, you know, some snaps under his belt and appears to have a little bit of poise and confidence about him.
Kevin, I was wondering, and I know we're going to break down the games a little bit more later, but I was just kind of curious. You watched Missouri and had Georgia on the brink, and now the Gators have Missouri coming up. Like, what, when you watch that game, what do you think of, what's your first thought about Florida and how they match up with Missouri?
Well, I think that the line of scrimmage matchup is interesting to me, because Missouri's defensive front was really impressive against Georgia. It was really whipping them for three quarters until they kind of wore down a little bit and Georgia made its comeback. But on the flip side, Missouri has some O-line issues, but Florida has a weak defensive line. But Florida's had a very good offensive line this season. They've only allowed 3 sacks all year. I think it helps having the mobile quarterback like Richardson dance around out of trouble a little bit, but still, this is the foundation of what Billy Napier is trying to build, starts up front with the offensive line. He brought in the preseason All-American Osiris Torrance from Louisiana, and he certainly hasn't disappointed as well. So the line of scrimmage, the offensive line for Florida, they've only allowed, 3 sacks again in 5 games. That's second best in the SEC. So that kind of bodes well for Florida in this matchup. I think the big question is now, can Florida's defense, which has been inconsistent, and they allowed 411 yards against Eastern Washington. I mean, they didn't play great. To correct you, Big O, was actually 52-17. They let up a couple of garbage touchdowns in the end. But, can Florida's defensive line create some havoc and make some big plays against a Missouri offensive line that apparently is having some struggles?
And notice how Ira stayed away from the Eastern Washington questions, because he's like me. Did the game really happen? he just moved on right away to Missouri. All right, so let's move over to Tallahassee and let's go talk to Ira Schofield from WarChant.com. And so, you guys were reporting last week that the practices weren't that really impressive overall, that things were throughout the week there at FSU, and then the performance was a little and I wonder if the same disease that may be happening in Tallahassee, I'm not sure, but it has festered at the University of Miami for, I would say, Manny will probably agree with me, a little over 15-17 years, that a lot of these kids, it doesn't take a lot for them to carry somebody else's accomplishments, and they feel like they arrived. So did Florida State get too big ahead with the early success going into this game, that they weren't necessarily as sharp preparing, and then the performance against Wake Forest followed the practices? Walk us through all of that, sir.
Yeah, I mean, it's possible. And, I asked Mike Norvell about it after the game because, the practices last week weren't great. And he even remarked about it at the time. And we are able to watch practices. I didn't think Jordan Travis in the passing game was very sharp either of the days we were out there. It just seemed like it was like a little bit just something off. And you couldn't really put your finger on it. He defended the players and said it wasn't a lack of effort. So that would make you think it's not getting the big head. But I think you might be onto something, because sometimes when you're playing well and you're having success or you're winning games, you let the details slip. And you kind of think, I'm winning because I'm good. And this team's winning because we're good. And you got to remember, no, it's because of all those little things you're doing and the emphasis you put on those little things. And I think that may have slipped last week. We were out there today. You could tell the coaching staff was really trying to ramp up the intensity, telling the running backs to make sure they're going full speed on every drill. The offensive linemen make sure they're being aggressive and assertive. They felt like they were a little tentative in that game. So I don't know that it was a something you could say it's a lack of effort last week, but I do wonder if maybe there was just some slippage in terms of
The sharpness.
Exactly.
Ira, obviously I drove up there for the game and covered it for The Athletic, so I got a chance to see those guys firsthand. To be honest with you, I think this Wake Forest is just such an unbelievably well-coached team, and that slow mesh system, I really think that you'd like to see more teams adopt it. Miami might want to steal a page from these guys because it was so effective against FSU. All that said, there are some guys that have been banged up for Florida State, key guys. Are any of them going to be back this week? Because it's obviously an important game.
Yeah, and that is part of it. The defensive line coming into the season, we thought Florida State might have one of the better defensive lines in the ACC, not probably up there with Clemson, but in that next tier. Two of them were out. Fabian Lovett was out. Jared Verse was limited. He ended up coming in and playing about 20 snaps, but that's about a quarter of the game. And then on the offensive line, Robert Scott, the offensive tackle, left tackle, was out. I think there's a decent chance Robert Scott will be back at left tackle. Jared Verse came out of that game in good shape. They feel like he didn't have any kind of setback, and he'll play more and more as the weeks go on. So those two are really positive. The one remaining one is Fabian Lovett, a defensive tackle. They feel like he's an NFL guy, probably their best defensive lineman. And he's been out now for 3 or 4 weeks. I don't think he'll be back this week. I think maybe they get him back for Clemson, which would be great. But I don't know right now if I would say he's going to be back this week. But the other two are definitely positive developments.
All right, Ira, I got to ask. So, you know, they're kind of known for this. So I'm just wondering, when you sign on to be a kicker at FSU, are you required to go wide right and wide left? I'm just, you know, because they got another mess going on there. And there's the coach going, let me see what the hell is going on here. So what's going on with the kicker? Is it something in the water? Is it a requirement in the whole thing? Hey, here's your scholarship, kid. Are you going right or are you going left?
I think you got a little amnesia, because they've also had some good ones. Roberto Aguayo was pretty good. Sebastian Janikowski was pretty good. You know, it's funny because back in the day, you're right, the wide rights. About
the young guys right now taking after those.
No, I know. I got you for sure. And, this guy, he's in his head right now. Ryan Fitzgerald started last year. He was 10 of 13 as a redshirt freshman. You felt like, okay, he missed some kicks, but you felt like, okay, he's got a chance maybe to be pretty good. And he's 4 out of 9 right now, and his longest field goal of the season was 30 yards. He missed a 29-yarder in that game. They threw him out there at the end to kick a 55-yarder. It might as well have been 85 yards, and he missed that. And, yeah, it's right now they're not saying it's an open competition, but they're not as adamant that he's their kicker right now. So they have a walk-on or two that they may look at this week. But it's a mess because they actually went for two a couple times instead of kicking the extra points. As you get into these games like NC State and Clemson, where every point is going to be so valuable, it's definitely a tough situation right now.
So I heard sorority houses have their guys like lined up trying to try out. I don't know. By the way, I thought it was interesting, Manny. You covered FSU, and I thought what was really cool is when you're hearing the coach from FSU say a lot of the things coach of the University of Miami was saying when coming off these disappointing losses, accountability. Mm-hmm. That seems to be a term at Tallahassee right now, coming off this loss. They want accountability from the last week, from the practices to the games. And then obviously Mario was all about that, dude. He was like, no, we got to look in the mirror. We got to look in the mirror, you know, and all that. So he made no excuses and pointed zero fingers. So I'm wondering if you kind of saw a little bit of the same stuff going on there on both stops.
Yeah, I mean, look, this is year three, right, for Norvell over there. And I just think he's got his imprint on the team now. I think, you know, Mario, for as strong a personality that he has, you know, you could tell 4 games in, this team still isn't playing the way that he wants them to. I do think Norvell, you know, the players in terms of understanding him, understanding what he wants, I think that's been established. They're just a little bit further advanced. I'll tell you the one thing that impressed me, that doesn't happen here at Miami, and maybe I'm dead wrong, Ira. You've been up there a lot longer than I have, but that's the first time I've covered a non-Miami Florida State game in Tallahassee. Even though they lost that game, there was no cussing, there was no booing, there was no nasty attitude from the fan base in the stadium, unlike here at Miami, when they have no problem booing Mario in game 3 or 4. And, you know, not that you shouldn't boo, but I will
quarter.
Say,
it was the sixth quarter where they booed him. What are you talking about, game 3 or 4? They have to boo his ass.
But I will say, and I don't know if you agree with me, both of you guys can chime in on this, but, I mean, that hurts recruiting. And when there's no booing, there's guys there watching that game. It's a different environment than when you watch a game at Miami.
Yeah, no, they've had their moments. You know, last year, for example, when FSU had Mackenzie Milton and everybody wanted that storybook ending with Mackenzie Milton. And when Jordan went into a game, you could hear some groans from the fans and things like that. And if this kicker situation goes on much longer, you might hear some boos. But no, I mean, I think the reality is, I don't know why it's in our – look, I get it. Sometimes I think the fans are booing the coach, which, you know, hey, they get paid millions of dollars. They deserve it. But you're right, man. If you're a recruit sitting there and listening to that, how do you take that? How do you feel like this is a place I want to be? And it happens at a lot of schools.
Well, I think also for me, just to throw in my theory, Miami's a pro town.
Right.
It's not really a college town, you know. And I've talked about this many times. Go walk onto the University of Miami campus, and a lot of those faces, they're not Americans. They're coming in to get their degree, and they're flying right back to their country with that education, and they're moving on. So that happens, and it's such a small student base that it really relies on regular fans. Right. So they treat the University of Miami like if they were the Miami Dolphins or the Miami Heat or the Panthers or whatever. And I think they get, and it's not a college town where they're kind of geared where that's the centerpiece of that town, because there is no pro teams or anything like that. So it's really difficult. In Gainesville and Tallahassee, you can have a true college-like atmosphere. And most of us, let's be honest now, most of us can send our kids to Florida, Florida State, you know, FIU, FAU, you know, state schools. Most of us can't afford to send our kids to the University of Miami. It's just way too much money. So it takes a different caliber kid. Those kids probably aren't really hooked to the sporting side of it. And it's just a different atmosphere for them. I think USC might suffer some of the same stuff. I'm not exactly sure because I'm not out there, but I kind of get the sense that they have a little bit of the same disease that we have too down here. I don't know.
You know, it's funny you say that, because my oldest daughter is a really smart kid and toured all three schools during her recruiting process as a student. She's a really smart kid and got into all three. And I went with her on the tours to each of the schools. Miami is the only one where during all of the presentations, they never really showed athletic stuff. Like, it was all about the academics. And I was blown away by it. I was like, oh my God, of course you're going to go here. Because it's such a, and in Florida, they showed these videos of Billy Donovan and all the basketball success and football success. Florida State, obviously, their football stuff. But Miami, man, it was all academics. And those kids in those presentations, yeah, I don't know if they'll ever go to a game at the stadium.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just a weird atmosphere for the University of Miami. I really feel bad for them in that sense. All right. We get ready for our second segment. We're going to look around the NFL. We're going to talk about maybe what could be a coach that is stealing money without a mask and a gun. We can also talk about, we're going to play fantasy college head coach, because we've got some openings. And then we'll talk about the nemesis in the ACC. So we've got all of that coming up Saturday, 4:00, UNC and Miami. I'm not sure what Vegas knows that I don't, but somehow Miami is favored by 4 in that game. Over and under is 66. At noon, Missouri is taking on Florida. The Gators are favored by 11. The over and under is 55.5 points. And at 8:00, baby, prime time. Yeah. Ira Schoffel will be done at 2 a.m. Florida State. NC State is favored by 3 in this one, too. So this should be a really interesting game. All right, we're going to take a break. You are listening to the State of Florida Gridiron Roundtable on the Sports Talk 305 Network.